Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Love that song. I invite you to stand as you're able as we hear the reading of Scripture this morning. First reading comes from the letter of James, chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of the Lord. And our gospel reading comes from Matthew 7. The words of Jesus. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the word made flesh. And Father, Son, and Spirit, I thank you that you are present with us in this place. Spirit, open our hearts and minds, our imaginations to what it means for us to follow you in our real life this week. Amen. You may be seated. First, can we thank Ryan and his family for being with us? True treat. They won't say it, but there's a table out there. They have for sale these things called CDs. You can put your drinks on them and it plays music. Just like parents, you got that Bible, there's a thing in there called a DVD. You have to put it in a thing and it plays. But check out their resources. You can go to any streaming service, Liturgical Folk. Look that up and you will find it, and they'll be out there after the service. So it's great having you with us today. Several months ago, I heard my lovely wife cackling in a room, in another room in the house, and I said that with love. When she belly laughs, it's a cackle, and our son has inherited that gift. So I go into the other room, and I see her looking at her phone with like tears from laughing so hard rolling down her face. She can't catch her breath, so I'm like, what are you looking at? What is so funny? Show me. And she gave me her phone, and it was a reel on Instagram, I think from TikTok or something, and it was couples who were drinking wine and then painting pictures of their significant other and then showing their significant other the painting. And I wanted to show the role, but there's some spicy language I can't show in church, but I can show you some of the pictures, all right? So here's the first one. This is the guy holding up the picture that his significant other painted of him. It's not bad. That's pretty good, right? From an untrained artist. Here's another one. Got a little heavy with the black there. Yeah, that's not great, right? Here's one. Nah, that's pretty good. And then, though, it starts to get a little rougher. She has piano keys for teeth. I don't know where that, okay. And then here. I don't think she's actually seen the picture yet. If you watch it later, there is some swearing happening there. But Yeah, if my wife and I did that, she is an artist, so I'd be like, hey, that looks really good. For mine, it would be like a stick person with a smiley face and like long hair. Now, what if this morning you walked in and in front of you in your pew was a blank canvas and some paints, or maybe just like some crayons and paper, and I said, here's the thing, I want you to draw your own self-portrait, hence self-portrait. Draw what you think you look like, and then show it to someone who knows you well, and would they be like, yeah, that's pretty good, or would they just have a good old belly laugh and laugh in your face? Don't worry, we're not going to do that this morning. But I want us to start thinking about, are we aware of what we look like? Are we self-aware of the image we're reflecting into the world around us? We're in week two of our series of James called Faith in Real Life. And if you weren't here last week, go back and listen to Pastor Danner's sermon on it. It was a great way to enter this book where he looked at who James is, Jesus's half-brother, and how his life was transformed from being this one who thought Jesus was out of his mind to someone who was faithfully following Jesus to the end, to the point of martyrdom. And the whole goal of this series is to really see, like, what does it mean to be changed by the Spirit of Jesus in our lives? Today's passage is from Matthew in the end of chapter 1 and James. They're pretty simple. A simple reading, they just are saying, do what Jesus said. That's it. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Who wants to be wise? Raise of hands, who would like to be wise? I like the honest people, like, nope, I'm good, just being ignorant, we're good. Safer that way. James, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Who wants to deceive themselves? No one, right? These two, they're pretty simple. If you are a follower of Jesus and you spend any time in the scriptures, any time in a church, it's pretty simple, like what Jesus tells us to do. Love and pray for your enemies, bless them. Give all your money away to the poor. Welcome the least of these into your home. Cut out lust and anger and pride out of your life. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? How's that going for you? It's the 12th of January. Happy New Year. I won't say anymore. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? We did this last year. Our church is highly not overachievers at all. I love it, right? But if you did, like, it's the 12th, you got like one more day of willpower in you, and then it's all going to come off the rails, right? That chocolate is coming. In my own life, the beginning of this passage, I've been praying and meditating on this passage for weeks. And it says in the beginning of this passage from James to not be quick to anger. Last night, I go to bed early around 8:36 actually is when we start walking into our room. And about 9:15, I'm still awake, 9:30, and I hear meow. And it's this thing in my house called a cat, also known as the devil himself. As my wife likes to say, crying to his people. And he just is sitting there meowing, and my heart rate is going up because he doesn't know, actually he does because he's Satan incarnate, that I have to get up in the morning early and preach God's word to his people. And I get so angry. This thing will not leave us alone. He does this almost every night. So I get up out of bed and I start chasing him around. I don't have my glasses on. I'm chasing him under furniture, like shaking things and trying to get him in the laundry room, and I can't get it. I'm so angry, and I just get in bed, and my wife gets out of bed, picks him up, puts him into the laundry room, comes back into the bedroom, does not say anything to me at all. I wake up in the morning, I get up early to go pray and be all like Jesus, and I come into our bedroom later, she's up at this point, she goes, are you okay now? I said, I'm fine, leave me alone. Surely I know the scripture says don't be angry. And in that moment, as I was going back to sleep, like, I was convicted. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry, but surely I should be past this. I should have matured in my faith already, right? And some of you are like, yes, I know, but you have your own issues. Don't point the finger back at yourself, right? So the problem isn't that we don't know. Like, we know what it means to follow Jesus. We know what it's required of us, but what is keeping us from doing it? It's certainly not lack of desire. You want to be more like Jesus. And as I've been sitting with this passage for the last couple weeks, not that I've discovered, but for my own heart, I kind of found the linchpin of like, here's something that can help us grow, and I believe us gathered this morning to move merely from just desires, but to start implementing this desire into action. And it's in the middle of James, of our passage for this morning, particularly 23 and 24. James writes, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer," I'll be the first to raise my hand, "he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror." So imagine a man staring into a mirror, memorizing what his face looks like. "For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." Now, how many of you, if you stared in the mirror and memorized your face and walked away, and the second you walked out of the bathroom, you're like, "I have no idea what I look like. I don't know what color hair I have." No, it's ridiculous. James is trying to get that across. Like, this is silliness. This is not what it means to follow God. So as I've been wrestling through this, I've been, maybe the problem is we're gazing into the wrong mirror. We're focusing in on the wrong thing to shape us and form us. Because the reality is what we look at forms us. And I don't mean just like the things we put our eyes on. The mirror in the ancient world, which James was part of, often had to do with a metaphor for the soul. What's inside of you? What's forming and shaping you and causing you to respond to the world the way you do? So what we look at, what we gaze upon, what we focus our attention on forms us. You didn't become the person you are today by accident. If you find yourself chasing a cat around the house at 9:30, angry, that didn't just magically happen. Something formed you to become that kind of person. If you're the kind of person that is continually worried about the future and anxious, and yes, there are, I'm not belittling like a real diagnosis of anxiety, but if you're just looking at the big, bad, scary world around you because X, Y, or Z is happening in politics, something formed you to become that kind of person. If you're a people pleaser, trying to get people to approve of you all the time, something formed you to become that kind of person. It didn't happen by accident. What are the mirrors you're looking into? Maybe it is the mirror in your bathroom every morning, and as you look into it in the morning, your beard is suddenly way more gray than brown. And the bags under your eyes are deeper because of that devil cat in your house. The wrinkles are showing up more and getting deeper. So you fight the endless cycle of trying to look young and attractive to the world. We live in a crazy time where we can put filters on our pictures and project to the world what we look like. I thank the Lord Jesus that I met my wife before online dating. Because I can only imagine many people in this room where you have probably shown up to a date from someone you met online. You're like, that filter was really good. Right? But maybe it's a little different. Maybe it's your literal phone. You're staring into it. You can go look at it at the app and it'll tell you how long you've gazed into it. And it's forming you. Social media, whatever it may be. I've never spent any amount of time on Instagram or the Facebook or whatever and walked away going, "I feel so much more like Jesus." I walk away anxious and angry and frustrated that I'm anxious and angry and frustrated, right? This isn't a rant on social media. It has its place, whatever. But rather to help us think, like, what is it you're gazing into and how is it forming you? If you're seeing things in your life that aren't like Jesus, it's an invitation to see where are those things coming from And not just be like, I'm just a poor, miserable sinner. You are. But something's still forming you. But James then talks about another mirror that we can gaze into. He goes on to say, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Probably the most confusing part of this passage is that we're like, what is he talking about? The perfect law, the law of liberty. James was Jewish. The perfect law, Torah. God's commands, and don't think commands like you can't do this, but the ten words, God's word to his people of how to live a flourishing life, how to live in communion with our Creator and with one another and with creation, to live as we ought to. God gave us his commands. The law of liberty, that he's pointing to the Word, Jesus, the Logos, who came to dwell among us, who fulfilled, who became the perfect fulfillment of Torah. And not just to appease, so you're just off the hook for your sins, but to actually the prototype, to be what you and I are ultimately called to be, but yet we fall short of daily. He came to bring us the abundant life that he promises in John 10:10, the flourishing life. And James is calling us to look at him, the Word, not just to read the Bible, that's good, but the Word himself, Jesus Christ, to gaze upon him. And then we become like a doer. He'll be blessed in his doing. If you are born and bred Lutheran, you've probably never heard a sermon series on James, honestly. Luther himself was not a fan of James. Later, though, in his writings, he's like, oh, there's some good stuff in there. But it talks about things, like Ryan pointed out, that we're going to address in a couple weeks, that faith without works is dead. What do we do with that? Is he preaching a works righteousness? No, he's preaching good works. He starts the letter with brothers. He's addressing the church. He's addressing Christians who know who they are in Christ. This is what it looks like to live into the life you've been baptized into. Go back and read James right before this, 16 and 18. That James is pointing out this is all a gift, that every good gift comes from above. And he talks about how we are the first fruits, showing how Christ is the prototype. He is what humanity is designed to be. And now as we are called into his name, into his likeness, we now are the prototype to the world, to reflect to the world, not our natural face, but the face of Christ to the world around us. So as we start to shift our gaze from the natural mirror, if you will, to gazing upon Christ, the outflow is this. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Bruiser will live another night. That's my cat's name. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word that God's actually doing this work in you, which is able to save your souls. If we understand this is gift, this is something that God is actually doing in us, this doesn't mean we have to live in fear of like, oh, am I being good enough or bad enough? No, it's actually, no, this is who I'm being called to be. Spirit, help me grow in this. But this takes a lifetime. There's no six-week Bible class you can go through and ta-da, you're like Jesus. As much as I wish, like one sermon and ta-da, you're like Jesus. Or worship experience, or reading the right book. Those are all good things. But they slowly form us over the course of a lifetime. You might not realize it, but like coming to church every week forms you in a way. Sadly, statistics, I think like a really good church attender now is like 1.3 weeks out of the month. Like, so how many other days out of the month are forming you into something else? Showing up every week and singing the creed or saying the creed. I remember sitting in the pew at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Agoura Hills, being not a believer at all, but sitting through the liturgy every single week, I would find myself saying the creed and the prayer, and one day I went, uh-oh, I believe this. Over the course of 5 years, I was formed into someone to receive the gift God was offering me. Coming up and receiving the Lord's Supper, singing the songs, being in community, confessing our sins, they form us. But the world is trying to form us also. And that's a whole nother journey as a faith community. What practices are we adopting as individuals and as a community? But here's my challenge for you this week. It is not to go and say, I'm going to do all the spiritual disciplines. I'm going to start reading my Bible an hour every single day and spend 2 hours a day in silence and solitude and practice giving to the needy with everything I have and this and that. Those are all good things. But first, this is my invitation this week. What mirror are you looking into? Just to take brutal evaluation of your life and be like, you know what? My phone says I am staring at it 17 hours a day. I made that number up. I don't know if that's true for you. And just be honest about that. Maybe having CNN or Fox News on all the time in the background actually isn't good for you becoming more like Jesus. Maybe the things you're putting into your body aren't helping you become more like Jesus. And to be honest, and how is it forming you? Not to condemn you, not to make you feel guilty and shameful, but to be honest, saying, Holy Spirit, here it is. This is what you have to work with. And then he'll begin to reveal to you what it looks like, what he's inviting you into. And the things we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come are all ways the Spirit is desiring to live the faith he's given us, to live it out in this real world. So Holy Spirit, I pray for my brothers and sisters as we journey through this letter from James. And Lord, just let us be honest this week. Lord, I'm sure there's some good Jesus stuff in there. But I know in my heart there's lots of stuff that you still want to deal with. And I thank you, Father, that you are gracious enough to bring those things to light. So Holy Spirit, continue to form us as a faith community. Continue to let us dedicate ourselves to you and one another in the days, weeks, and years to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.